Hello everyone and welcome back to the Cyclocross Social Podcast. Today we're going to be talking about the 12th round of the Cyclocross World Cup, which took place in and around the mythical Kuil of Zonhoven. With me here, as always, to discuss that is Issam.
Yes, thank you for having me.
Quite the day out there. Zonhoven is one of my favorite races to attend. It's a party cross, like, in some way. The atmosphere there is electric in the Kuil, but unlike races like Loenhout or Diegem, I feel like, especially in the part of the Kuil, now that the beer tent is moved out there, there's no DJ playing there. It's the nice style of cyclocross fans, the fans that I love, and I always need to laugh because I always read stuff like, oh, cross in Belgium is dead, the Kuil will never be full. And then today, some 16, 17,000 spectators are there. The Kuil was absolutely jammed. Every time Van der Poel came by, loud cheers and cheers only. And that's the part that I like there. It's the real cyclocross fans that are out there. I heard a lot of German-speaking people today. There were plenty of people talking French. That's not something I normally hear when I go to a cross. So I definitely enjoyed it out there. That part of the cross is very, very fun, and if I need to recommend you to go to one cyclocross race, I would definitely recommend you to go to Zonhoven, because you have the pleasant experience these days in the Kuil, you have the spectacular features there, you can see them come by a couple of times. I really liked how many big screens there were around. Normally we need to scramble like three big screens around the entire venue, but today I counted at least six, maybe there were even seven. So yeah, it was certainly a nice day out for me. How was it for you as I'm watching from the couch?
The emotions that you see on the screen is definitely different from what you have seen being there. But it was a great race, a great day of racing. It looked very good. The ambiance was definitely there. There was a sphere that was, you know, a bit electrifying, especially when you hear the reactions of the fans, the crowd, when they go wild, when there is a mistake made in the Kuil or someone is crashing, and you know, you relive every moment there. And it's, you know, it's a young classic. It's a race that truly, you know, made a name for itself and is starting to become a real classic and is iconic. It has every character that a cyclocross race kind of needs. You know, there is the entertainment is there, but the racing can also be very good on the course, and it can be a little bit faster. It's tricky. It has that the moment of suspense with the downhills, and I think it's a very, very pleasant race. And for the people on the television as well or watching it, it's also a great experience, I think. So it was I enjoyed it.
I mean, there were still a couple of things around this race that made me laugh. I mean, the Kuil in Zonhoven is apparently world famous, which is a stretch. Like, it's famous within cyclocross fans and like the circles there, but nobody outside of cyclocross, if you ask them what Zonhoven is or the Kuil, they'll look at you as if you're talking like alien language to them. They'll have no clue what you're talking about. And yes, there were many Germans and French here, but I just read an article in a newsblad where they were, oh, there was a spectator from Afghanistan there today. Cross is going real international. Okay, calm your horses. I've just said the state of cyclocross is good in Belgium. There's still many fans coming out. We could have a totally different discussion about the international state of cyclocross. There was an interesting interview with Timon Ruek about that this week in on the Wielerflits, that was. But we'll not go into the details there. We could have had a totally different perspective. But yeah, let's go to the racing, Issam. It was not decided super quickly. Van der Poel had mercy, or maybe as you say, he just gave a free ride and made some fans ride with him for the first couple of laps, because there was a leading peloton, I would say. We had 6 till 10 riders at the front of the race, but after a couple of laps, Van der Poel had enough. Some 25 minutes into the race, he placed an attack on the uphill before the Kuil, blew away from the rest, stormed through the Kuil, rode every single section, and took victory. 10 victories in 10 races is simply untouchable. Behind him, there was a bigger battle for the second place. We had the Boise Trek Lions duo of Nieuwenhuis and Ronhaar facing off the Crelan Corendon duo of Tom van der Bos and Laurens Sweek. Van der Bos made a mistake in the second drop into the Kuil. He crashed there. That completely finished off his chances of competing for the podium. Ronnar was on the back foot as Nieuwenhuis and Zweig kept attacking and got dropped, and towards the end of the race, Nieuwenhuis took second place ahead of Laurens Zweig, saving the Belgians' hopes because they were getting worried there would be an all-Dutch podium once again. But it's, I already said it, Van der Poel simply untouchable. There's nothing really we can do except admire that, because the way he was riding around so easy was after the second downhill into the curl, that corner there. He was the only one able to ride that corner, at least the only one I've seen doing it, and I spent a couple of laps down there. Just so good. So good. Pleasure to watch. So smooth. And then he only wins by 20 seconds without really cruising off. His gap never really opened, but it was a victory on cruise control.
Continuation of what we have seen so far from the world champion, and I think that it is there was no chance today again for the other competitors. And the first couple of laps, you know, you look at how he sometimes, you know, gets a little bit too far back, and then one or two moves are enough to put him again back in second or third. And you know, those moves already indicated to me that it's not a bad day or something, but just someone that is you know, having fun and making it a little bit easier for himself, because the circumstances today in Zonhoven, it was somewhat fast, you know, and it's then going to be a little bit more difficult to start your race alone from the start, or you know, try to break away at the second lap. So I think that it was understandable, and the way he has been racing so far, you kind of see a switch. In the beginning, it was really trying to get from the start at the front and stuff, and now it's more, a little bit more calm, I would say. But then when he attacks, there is no answer from no one, and I think that the level is just, yeah, there is a gap there between him and the rest, and he showcases that every race. And I'm afraid that that is not going to change for the next couple of races. So if you want to see someone else win, it means that Van der Poel has, you know, doesn't need to start, or he's maybe in the wrong hotel, or there is something else going on. But this guy is probably, if he attends a race and he's going to be there and he's going to participate, I'm sorry to break it to you, but I think that he's then going to win every single race that he will start in cyclocross for the next couple of weeks. And you know, what happens on the road and after that, that is obviously a different story, and that, you know, it involves a lot more than what is going on right now. But at the moment, I think the differences are very clear.
Maybe they could have the announcer make an announcement that a golden Lamborghini is being towed off the rider's parking for parking in the wrong slot. Maybe that will have him stop the race midway and save his car and then come back and still win, probably, by how easy it all goes. And this quote comes from an article that is created by Dutch journalist Thijs Zonneveld in Dutch newspaper AD. He just made a column, he wrote a column with 31 things that they could do to stop Van der Poel from winning. And I mean, the hotel part there was also in it. There's some, a couple of pretty funny ones, couple less funny ones, but yeah, just so easy. My solution would be, and I'm interested to hear your take on it, is for him to join the other sport, which I recently discovered today at the course. So at the start finish straight, at the end you shoot up this hill, and then on the right hand side for the TV viewers, there's the area where you can buy frites and beer, and then behind it is the beer tent. And I discovered that there's a new sport which contains drinking as many beers as you can in that beer tent, then staying in that beer tent for as long as you can. Opus is already playing, the 1 minute announcement is made. Wait as long as you can in the beer tent after drinking all those beers, and then run to the course without falling and still seeing the start, because there was like a mass sprint going on from the beer tent to the start there, just with them and all the drunk people. A couple of them went down, a couple of them stayed on their feet. Maybe that's something that will challenge Van der Poel. I think he would have some serious competition, because those Belgians there, they seem trained.
Oh man, yeah. I mean, it's part of the culture, I would say, and it's you should have filmed it, to be honest, because I think that it would bring from some hilarious scenes there. But it's part of the cyclocross and the fans, as long as they behave, in my opinion, I have no issues with that. And I think that this race went relatively well, so I think that everything, you know, it's a part of it, and it's the charms of the cyclocross event, and of Zonhoven in a way as well. So you know, maybe they should try and come with a solution so they don't have to do that anymore. Maybe, you know, more screens, because you said there were 7 or something. So we'll see what that can bring.
Well, they could have watched on the screen, but you just want to have a glimpse of the action yourself. So, I mean, it was funny to see, almost as funny as after they, like, hype you up with the Opus song before the start, which is really, really good. I wish you could hear more of that on the TV, actually. It really builds the tension when you're there. But then, normally, like, after the start, you get, like, some song with big beats, but not here. Here, they just started playing the Summer of 69, and all these drunk people had just ran over, started chanting the first sentences, which I will not be repeating here, because you don't want to hear me sing. That would be even worse than them, especially because you guys haven't had as many beers to make it sound good as they've had. So, yeah, it was fun, and I mean, most of them behaved, unfortunately, around the women's race. You still hear that's the part of cross culture which I don't like. There's always people who feel the need to make comments about the appearances of the woman or whatever. Like, that's the part that I don't like, but most of them behaved, so yeah. Enough about the spectators. Let's actually focus a bit on the racing, because we've barely done it. I've shared my experience, a very long episode of Noah and the Field, but let's focus on that battle for second and third, Issam, the remaining spots on the podium. I thought, first of all, that was impressive that Tom van den Bos was up there. Shame he made that mistake, which ultimately cost him, but Volnar and Nieuwenhuis, not really a surprise, but to see Swake up there, like, it had to be today. There were no excuses for Lauren Swake. In Kokseide, you could still come, oh, well, I couldn't really use my sand skills because it rained so much and there was so much mud. None of that today. It was a fast course. He could use some of his sand skills in the course. He had a good start. He didn't have any issues. He needed to deliver today, and for the first time this season, he does. I think, technically, he should have also been able to beat Nieuwenhuis. He didn't do that, which is maybe a slight down, but okay, he maybe also delivered in Dublin, but like, this is like, you can count the races where he did well this season on one hand, and I would say that this is like one of three good races by him, which tells you everything you need to know about his season. But no excuses today, and I mean, how do you view that? Do you think he can be satisfied
with the race? I think there is no, he cannot complain, because if you look at how his season so far is going, it's definitely an up. So I think that Nieuwenhuis was very strong also. So I think that was maybe a bit too much to beat Nieuwenhuis for second, but third was definitely the spot that he should felt for me as his maximum, and he should be very, very satisfied with that, because I think that so far he didn't show a glimpse of what we have seen last year. It comes at a good moment, I would say, because now you come in this period where the Christmas period in a way is behind you, and you can now focus on what's coming next, and the Nationals are coming up, the Worlds are coming up, obviously, so I think there is no better moment than now to have a very good ending of what I see at the moment as a terrible season if you compare it to last season. And it looked also good today. I think he had kind of the same initiative as he had in Kokseide, but he just couldn't back it up in Kokseide, and now he was able to do so, and he was able to manage and hold on to the front places a little bit, and I think that was important for him to then, you know, Ronhaar was just, yeah, didn't really have it in the end. Maybe gave a little too much energy, spent a little too much energy, but in the end it was a strong ride from Swake. And I think that it's important now that you get that mental up, and then from here you try to keep it and move to the next races and improve. And he will need that, I think, because he can save his he can save his season with a title next week. So interesting to see how the remainder of his season will play out.
Before the show, we said we weren't going to preview those Belgian championships all too much, because that's the time of the year you're in. Everything is automatically connected to it. But I still think you're right, Issam. You're right, Issam. It's a good moment for him. He needs to get that win next week to save his season, or else a medal at Cyclocross Worlds. Those are the two only things that can save him. It's been a dreadful season for him. Michael van Tourenhout, who DNF today, would be in a similar situation. Hadn't it been that he has also already won the European title, like, his season has been bad, but can we say his season is a disaster? No, because he has won one out of three jerseys, so he's fine. Another DNF today was Cameron Mason. He had a frustrating day. He got crashed into at the start, was pretty annoyed with that. We could see that on the TV when he pulled out in the pit. So, annoying day out for Cameron Mason, who had a good day yesterday in Gillingham. We didn't make a podcast for that, but it's worth mentioning he ended second there after a bad start. He recovered well, finished second. The win there was actually for Michael van Turenhout, numbers 1 and 2 of yesterday DNF'd. Third place yesterday was for Joran Vizeur in Gillingham, just to complete that podium. Let's also not make this a preview of the Dutch National Championships. Van der Poel won't be starting there, which leaves us with a battle between Nieuwenhuis, Ronhaar and Van der Haar. Van der Haar has been, probably over the Christmas period, the least out of these three. He had a good day in Gavre, but after that it's not been amazing by the current Dutch champion. Hulst was an up, but we'll see. I think you covered it pretty well. Ronhaar and Nieuwenhuis are on the way, and I already said I was surprised by Van der Bos. So let's look at the entire top 10. Van der Poel with a win ahead of Nieuwenhuis, Zweek, Ronhaar, Van der Bos. Isabine in 6th, ahead of Verstringen, Van der Haar, Vizeuren and Kamp. Isam, I would like to briefly talk about Eli Iserbeet here, and I know you've already said it before, you think he is going to be in fine form for the Belgian Championships next week. He didn't race since Hulst, which is a week ago. He was dehydrated there, spent a night in the hospital. What do you think? 6th place? Can he be happy with that at his return?
I don't know. I think that it was it's difficult for me to guess where he at right now, because it was a somewhat a fast race and the pace didn't drop from the start. So you could maybe argue that he kind of lacked that rhythm in a way, and it was difficult for him to get into the race. It was also quite cold, so I don't know. It's hard to say, but of course, if you look at the result, solely at the result and how he was riding, it didn't look great. He struggled really to stay with the group at the beginning, and then at the end, he was there in a good battle with Van der Haar, and eventually got himself into 6th place, which I think is not terrible. And I still stand with the idea that I think that he is still the main favorite for next week. But yeah, it's not great. And I don't know if it's because of, you know, that the story of Paulo Sousa, I think it changed 6 times. So I'm not really going to mention any of that. But I think that what is interesting is this year we got an Iserbeet that was consistent over the course of the season and really performed well up until, you know, the situation in Hulls. But overall, it was a very good season and he was very consistent. And I don't know if that maybe played a role in it, that he did something what he normally doesn't really do or isn't really able to do. So it's difficult to say. And but yeah, for him, it was basically a day of trying to, you know, maintain that gap that he had in the lead of the World Cup and try to make the best out of it. And it's going to be interesting to see what form he will be getting on the Nationals. I have to say I'm not as confident as I was, but I'm still thinking that, you know, it will turn into better form for Iserbeet. And I'm very interested to see if that will come out.
It certainly wasn't a bad showing today. That national championship is going to be super open. I think he won his group at the end of the race, which was an up. He was fighting with Verstringen and Nijs. I was impressed by Verstringen. He is a young rider. He is getting these results. He needs to keep getting them. He needs to make a similar step like his friend, his, well, 1 year older countryman, Joran Vizeur, who was in the top 10 today. Why didn't Nijs end in the top 10? He crashed in, I think, the penultimate lap in the second drop into the Kuil. About Nijs, Isam, I don't really know. I don't want to make this a preview for the championships, but everything is linked to it. I have to share this. A couple of other people, I overheard them talk, and these were people working for Paulo Sousa and Craelan Corendon. They think that Nijs trained super hard on the road before he returned to competition in Antwerp, and then he's just using this as an intensity block. He's going to recover. And they were pretty scared about the form he was going to reach next week. Nice championship rider, he will be there. I don't know what to make of those comments. It was interesting, I thought it was just worth sharing them. He did all right, but I mean, just like yesterday in Gillichem when he was in the fight for a podium. Yesterday he was fighting for third with Vizeure. At the moment, it just doesn't seem to be there. And this is something I would like to talk to you about. If we look at the beginning of the season, Thibaut Nice was the man. He was winning, he won Beringen, he won Waterloo, was up there in Overijssel, won the Koppenberg. He was the man of the season. He was kicking it. Other rider that was up there at the beginning of the season in the USCX series. Different scene, but we talked about him on this podcast. Andrew Strohmeyer. He was doing well there. He was kicking it up with the elites there. He was fighting for wins, finally got that win. Today he ends 28th, which is a highlight in this campaign. In the U23 race in Kokseide, he was 24th. In Baal, he was 18th. Those are U23 standalone races. He doesn't really have it. On the woman's side, we have Aniek van Alphen, who has a serious form crisis. She ended 4 minutes down in 15th today. This is a rider who, at the beginning of the season, we thought she was one of the bigger names to fight for podiums after that podium in Maasmechelen. She was proving it with that second place, which should honestly have potentially been a win. Or no, that was with Vorst, never mind. Deserved second place in Niel. She was up there in a couple of other races where we thought, okay, she's showing it. She's in a deep crisis. We can name a couple of other riders. Magalie Rochette recently returned to Canada to do some more training because it wasn't going the way she wanted here. She was 23rd today, wasn't really satisfied with that result. Those riders that were kicking it at the beginning of the season, I mean, almost all of them, are feeling the pain now, whereas the riders at the front now are riders like Puk Pietersen, Joris Nieuwenhuis, Pim Ronna, riders who hit their form later. Do you think that we see at this point in the season, at the end of the Christmas block, I think it's a fair moment to draw a conclusion, that a couple of riders just came into this season too hot, they came into the season well in form, and now they just don't have it anymore, they're tired, they've been too loaded, they just don't have it?
Yeah, in a way, but they shouldn't be afraid because there is a great week coming up where most of those riders will go to Spain and regroup and reassess the situation and try to kind of forget what happened and focus on what's coming up next. But I think that we tried for a part to, you know, say that it is the start of the season and that you should not focus too much and base your expectations on what you see at the beginning of the season, because it's so early on and there are so many riders that try to peak more towards the end of November, begin December, and then try to have a very good Christmas period. And it's just with the amount of races that you now have in the Christmas period, you will always try to, you know, be somewhat relatively good at the beginning of the season, but have that form and maintain it for as long as possible. Get maybe 1 or 2 weeks out of it and then training camp or whatever, and then come back and try to maintain that form or improve it even more and get as good as results as you can. And well, you know, for those riders, it is something that definitely is showing that if you start very good at the start of the season, it's very difficult to maintain that. And yeah, you end up, as you are describing well, in a sort of a crisis where it's just going nowhere in a way. And I think for those riders, it's definitely crucial now, you know, to realize that there is some time needed for relaxing, to regroup, to just get that body into some sort of a, you know, a zone where you can find some, you know, some peace in mind and just go at it and try to improve that form. Because I can definitely assure you that these 1 or 2 weeks that the riders will try and train and get some rest does wonders in some occasions. So what we see now, don't expect that you will see that again, but it's definitely, if you end it on a good note this Christmas period, it's a fantastic feeling, and then from there you can always build. But don't be surprised if there are some riders that you see now struggling a lot, improve later on after the 1 or 2 weeks and get some good results in towards the end of the season.
Yeah, we've seen that happen before, so I agree with you on that. But I definitely think that if you look in terms of season planning, and I can't look in the headquarters of Bawas Trek, but to me it seems like Thibaut Nice carried a lot of form from the road, a long campaign there into the cross season, and they didn't really have a clear plan laid out for the cross season, and I think that's a mistake. I think you should plan your season, you should plan your race weekends, you should plan your training camps. And to me, it just appears like with Thibaut, they were just kind of going with the flow. Oh, okay, he's good now, so we're just going to do these races here. And, oh, we're not going to do Dendermonde because he's tired. We're only going to do Neil, decision made on Monday. Oh, yeah, we're going to do this. I'm not sure. What are we going to do? It's really bad now after Flamanville. I need a... let me call my trainer. Okay, we're going to decide for a longer training camp. And of course, you need to improvise, adapt, and overcome during the season. But I feel like, to some extent, you need to lay out your season in a certain way, which I think happened very well for Joris Nieuwenhuis. They found, when he was sick prior to the season start, that he was not going to be in the best form once the season started. He went on a training camp for just over a week in the middle of the season. After that training camp, he was on fire. Before, he already started doing well, but after that, he really had a super good period. And then he went training in Spain a little bit more before the Christmas block, and he's delivering here. So, to an extent, I feel what you're doing in October is just a different sport to what you're doing now. Different temperatures, different courses, different circumstances. And if you really want to be good now, you can't really be good in October. Of course, Easerbeat is like Mr. Consistent himself, and he proves that you can just keep like a certain base level throughout the entire season if you're targeting the classifications. The question is, will that come and bite him at the championships that are coming up? That's always a tough decision to make. Let's go and talk about the women's race then. The women's race had who else than Mary Schreiber take the fastest start, but quickly Puk Pieterse took over. However, already in the first lap, Puk Pieterse had a rear puncture, which threw her back to 10th position. That was the sign for Lucinda Brandt to attack. Brandt went all out and opened the gap on the rest of the pack. Pieterse needed to spend a lot of effort, and by the time she had moved up into second, she had wasted a bunch of energy and found herself some 15-ish seconds behind Lucinda Brandt. She tried what she could to close that gap, but even a big push didn't really bring her any closer. Around the midway point of the race, it looked to be that the gap was going up again. Brandt had gained a couple of seconds, but then she crashed. She carried too much speed into a relatively simple corner with a tad loose sand there. She lost her front wheel and crashed badly. She hit the ground with her face first. She's currently in the hospital, taking x-rays from her nose to figure out what's going to happen. We don't have an update on that, unfortunately. But with Brandt out of the race, Pieterse all of a sudden got gifted the lead, and she didn't give that away anymore. Puk Pieterse took the win. Second place went to Inge van der Heijden, who stayed ahead of Zoë Bakstedt. I don't see much point in speculating about Pieterse potentially catching Brandt or not, but we have to admit it was a good race by Brandt until she crashed. It was a small, pretty silly mistake on a silly place in the course. It happens sometimes. We can only hope she's not injured, because she looked good, and I mean, we have to say Pieterse also looked good. She really spent a lot of energy after that flat tire to really try and get to the front of the race again.
Yeah, absolutely. And real shame for Brandt, the crash and the way it happened as well. And as you said, it was not a place where you really expect it. There are some places at Zonhoven where you take a lot of speed and you have some height differences, so you can't, you know, attempt some sort of a jump or something. And I think that kind of happened, and then the front wheel just went into the ground, and then from there it was all she rode. But yeah, terrible crash, and hopefully she has a speedy recovery. And I don't know what will be next for her, obviously. But yeah, if you look at the race of Pieterse, it was with that flat tire a very difficult race, but in the end the form was there, and she was able to recover very well and very convincingly as well, you know. So it was in the end a good ride from Pieterse, and confirmation of something that we have seen so far, that the form is getting better and better, and that it looks better also for Pieterse going into the next couple of weeks. And yeah, it was again a good race, and a bit of a shame that also Alvarado, the leader of the World Cup, was not able to start, because I think that, you know, due to back issues. So, you know, it's a bit of a shame that she wasn't able to attend, because I think that she definitely could have been in the mix with Petersen. Who knows what would have happened then. But very, very strong race from Petersen. And just, on to the next one, I think, for her, and see where that will go and lead her towards Tabor.
Petersen said something about apparently not having lost a cross since she handed in her thesis, so she must have written something good about the winner's mentality or something. But yeah, it's going well for her, and it will be interesting to see. Femme Van Empel didn't race today. She has flown to Spain with Wout van Aert, a last-minute decision there after they felt that Van Empel needed a bit of a break after all those crashes and those knees were in pretty dire conditions. So she's also skipping Dutch Nationals and really focusing on final block of the season with the World Cups in Benidorm, Hoge Heide and Tabor. I think she's potentially also racing Hamme. I don't really know what her goals with the X2O trophy are, but yeah, she wasn't there. Alvarado wasn't here either. Yesterday in Gillichem, Alvarado withdrew from the race. She had severe back pain. Let's hope that's not too serious. I do want to say that I was super impressed by the race of Inger van der Heide. She rode a good race. This is a great course for her. This is probably the best course in the world for Inger van der Heide. A modest amount of climbing, a bit of sand, but nothing too serious. Some power-ish sections, a bit of technique, a good mix. It was a good race by her, and I mean, I think the same goes for Baxet. It wasn't too technical. It was a good race for her, and a good weekend for both, actually, because yesterday in Gillichem, they were fighting each other for the victory. Baxet won there. Totally different conditions. It was super, super muddy there. Baxet took the win by just powering on forever and ever. Bakker ended second there and van der Heide third. But yeah, I think both riders can look back on a good weekend. And I don't know, maybe Baxet just a little bit more with that victory. But both should be satisfied. If we look at the entire top 10 behind van der Heide and Baxet, who, okay, of course, finished behind Petersen. In fourth place, we found Annemarie Vorst ahead of Kristina Zemanova. Laura Verdonschot was sixth ahead of Leonie Bentveld, Katablanka Vash, Sanne Kant and Lauren Molengraaf. We've already gone over riders with form crises and Sveik van Turenhout having seasonal crises rather than just tiredness is some, but you mentioned something about you need to get the light out of some good things here. And I think if you look at the ride of Annemarie Vorst today and also Laura Molengraaf, these are definitely like a good point for them. Like it's a positive they can take away from here. Vorst has had a difficult season, difficult years even, but this season is no different. She's been struggling, and then to end fourth, it's at least a positive. And for Molengraaf, who struggled with that step from junior woman to U23, not quite able to replicate what she did last year as a junior, which there's no shame in. For both riders, then results like this are positives they can take away.
Absolutely. And, you know, for Vorst, it's, I was looking at that battle as well. It was brought to our attention on the screens from time to time. And I was all, you know, imagine if she's going to lose that battle. But then, you know, fortunately she was able to pull that off, and I think it's important for her because she has so much potential in my opinion, but it's just not really coming out for whatever reason, and this season so far hasn't been the greatest of seasons for her as well. So difficult one. So, you know, with a race like this you can always be positive and say, well, there's only one more step, one more position and I was on the podium. So that's how you look at it, and it always, you know, it helps for a rider, I think, because then you can leave a certain race behind you and have a good feeling about it, and that good feeling carries on into the training, and you kind of know what the sacrifice is for, and you feel ready for the next challenge. And you know, for Molengraaf, as you said, it's also a difficult kind of transition from being woman junior into elite racing, and That's always a difficult step, and she has been dealing with it somewhat fine. But you know, obviously it's a difference between racing for victory and racing for a top 10. So yeah, something like a result like this is definitely something that helps. And you know, if it wasn't for Schreiber, it wasn't a top 10, but now with the top 10, it sounds a bit better than if it was 11th or 12th. So good weekend for both, and or good race for both, and hopefully they can just carry that momentum on into the next couple of races, because there's not much left. And and you know, if you go on to the next season, this most of the time the last part of the season that you remember the most. So let's see what they can make of that.
Yeah, absolutely. And I would like to still mention Kristina Zemanova once again. What a ride, fifth place. She's really developing into a very, very good cyclocross rider, versatile. This is the type of course we discovered her on first, when she raced in Zolder, I think, 2 years ago when she was 16th, fighting for a back end of a top 10 there. She's really good on these fast courses, but this season she's also proven that she's able to do it when it's muddier or when there's snow or just on pretty much any type of course she can do it now. I hope, I really hope, and it's more hope than that I actually believe in this, but I hope that there is a Belgian team that picks her up, or a big team that picks her up and gets her on the road racing schedule. I think she would do very well on the road, and it will make her even better in cyclocross. It's like quite a bit of untouched potential in her still. Like when I see it today in the downhills, it's not that confident. It's just the complete package of a cyclocross rider can be improved there. Just the way she shoulders her bike, it's not bad. The way she corners isn't bad either, but it can be better. Like, you can fine-tune it, you can polish it, you can turn this raw diamond like into a polished one, you can finish it. And she deserves it based on her results, but ultimately I don't think anybody will be taking the risk. So I mean, I can go on a whole rant about how that's bad and, well, reflects on the state of cyclocross now, but I'll save you from that. I just want to say that it's a really good result by her. She was on the U23 podium. Somebody who wasn't there was Schreiber. Some, you already mentioned it. What happened to Schreiber? I actually missed that when it was on the venue. I just heard the announcer say, oh, something happened to Schreiber, but I couldn't catch what exactly.
I saw it in the replay, but it was one crash in the downhill of the cow, which wasn't really something that, you know, obviously it wasn't the greatest of things. And then another crash when she was around Molengraaf, I think that was on the second dive into the cow, I think. But that crash was definitely one that hurt a little bit more. And then I think it was just a little too much after that, and, you know, couldn't really recover from that. Really a shame, because she was kind of in that battle for the under 23 World Cup classification, and that is now definitely gone with the results. So yeah, a bit of a shame, but yeah, those are things that can happen. You cannot prevent a crash from happening, or at least of course you can make sure that you get from part A to part B safe, but obviously there is always that part of you know, the risk that you can take. But yeah, two crashes, one that was just one crash too many, and yeah, that took all the life and potential out of the World Cup from Schreiber.
Yeah, I think I'm a bit torn on the way the U23 standings work here. I think it would be better if they filter the U23 and give them their own point skill, just 40, 30, etc., because they're always fighting for like the 1-2 points differences, and that to me ruins their classification, because It put so much emphasis on the races when the top riders weren't there, like in Dublin and in Flamanville, same for Val di Sol. Like in those races, you can just gain a ton of points, just because the rest isn't there. And then, I mean, the best U23 rider over the entire season is Backstedt. She won't win it because she skipped three races when she was in the US for a training camp with her road team. That's part of the game, but I think it would be nicer if they just give it their own points skill or something, because it feels like a bit, it just fits in my broader feeling around the point system of the World Cup, that it's not exactly in the right place. I don't have a great alternative at the moment. I'll think about one and share it once I have it, but I would definitely make a couple of changes there. Islam, I will end this episode with the results from the National Trophy Series, which concluded in Bradford in the UK. Thomas Meen took the win yesterday ahead of Toby Barnes and Daniel Barnes. Ella McLean Howell won the women's elite race ahead of Nikki Brammeyer and Elena Day. that will conclude from us from Zonhoven. Issam, thank you for being here.
Yes, thank you for having me. And that's the end of the Christmas period, but still some important races to come, the Nationals and then, of course, the World. So it's, you know, it's all starting to kick off from here. The important races are coming up and, you know, let's try and make the best out of the last part of the season.
Yeah, the National Championships are coming up towards the end of the week. We might make a preview podcast. I mean, we've previewed so much about it already that we'll figure out if it makes much sense. But National Champs weekend should always be a good one. And then it's the final stretch. I saw our trip to Benidorm is coming up.
Totally looking forward to the Spanish sun. I need it as well.
Yeah, I'm doing 2 months without any sunlight challenge over here in the Netherlands. That's how horrid it's been here. But yeah, I'm definitely looking forward to the end of the season. The part actually after the National Championships until Worlds is my favorite stretch of the season. Looking forward to that. Thanks everyone for listening and goodbye.